So in the end, it was not a single solid piece of evidence that led to Gotti's conviction, but rather the overwhelming burden of numerous clues that left little room for doubt regarding his guilt. But oh yes, that Gotti was a cunning dog. Again and again he came up with plausible explanations for the circumstantial evidence stacked against him, fabricating alternative facts, playing the clever criminologist, attempting to aid the novice investigators. In a written report, for example, he protested that many unnecessary witnesses were questioned, while crucial witnesses, such as those who had seen victim and murderer together but were too afraid to look at them more closely, were overlooked. Of course, there was such a witness. The student, the Forster Johann, who didn't dare to take a closer look. But unlike other witnesses, Forster had never been mentioned to Gotti before. Furiously, Gotti claims that during the interrogations, the witness had already been spoken of previously. The interrogations were not always written down completely, word for word. Ridiculous. Yes, Gotti was clever, cunning, and likely also vain. He liked being the center of attention, and of course tried to govern the course of the interrogations. During one of the questionings, for example, he demonstrated both, surprisingly and candidly, how to make a cord by hand from the yarn of an unraveled sock, once again proclaiming that only a truly innocent person would voluntarily admit to being able to produce such a murder weapon. Surely, an actual murderer would pretend not to know how to make a cord suitable for strangulation out of a simple bit of yarn. Only after today's rejection of his petition for clemency did Gotti, after a long and stubborn denial, finally confess to the crime in full, including the rape of the victim. Tomorrow's execution, however, will not bring Miss Degen back to life.